Welcome to day 16 of lockdown in the UK, where it's Ash Wednesday today in Holy Week, and we are all hashtag praying for Boris in hospital. Clarissa and I are still trawling the news for any positive stuff, and as spring gets well underway here with all this lovely sunny weather in the UK, we are finding lots of good stuff to talk about in the environment this week. My name is Emma Marnie.
And my name is Clarissa Vorfeld, and welcome to day 24 of lockdown in Switzerland, where we've just recorded our very first virtual wedding, done when a couple called Alexia and Walter in the canton of Vaud tied the knot virtually without a registrar, and witnesses all celebrating with champagne in their various houses. She even threw a bouquet from the balcony.
My God, that'll probably be us after Easter. Now, we've had a few inquiries for why you called yourself Clarissa Brooke Turner yesterday. Were you mixing up your identities?
Well, of course, I have various personas. No, it's really my married name and my maiden name. So I call myself Clarissa Brooke Turner, my maiden name, for all my professional work, my educational TV channel that I founded called Now You Know About. But my married name is Vorfeld. But considering this is more of a non-domestic activity, I'm going to stick with my professional name.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up for some confused listeners. Now, who have you got at home today?
Well, I'm actually really enjoying having my children at home. I feel for those who haven't managed to get together with their close family. But personally, I am loving it. I managed to get both my children back from university. They're quite happy to be here, you know, having a long lie-ins and a full fridge. And I can see that their skin is getting better. They're sort of starting to look a bit less pasty and studenty. And I'm baking a cake a day, watching the sort of movies students like in the evening, which are hilarious, most of them. Walking, we're allowed to walk when we like here in Switzerland. And of course, having too many glasses of wine. But how about you, Emma?
Well, not much change here. I've still got my teenage twins who have gone out to get ingredients to also bake today. They're baking a carrot cake together, which has to be the first time they've done anything like that since they were in primary school. My eldest son's here, my husband's working from home, but he's realizing that Good Friday happens in just 2 days' time, which means 4 days of no work. And I think he'll be feeling the relentlessness of lockdown during that period.
Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, this is a test for people who need to find things to do in their leisure time. But we're keeping it positive here. And being 8 days ahead of you, I can tell you now that you get out for your exercise as much as possible. Walk, bike, get that garden going, you know, do your push-ups on your terrace or on your front lawn. Just stay in the fresh air. And so what have you been looking at today, Emma?
Well, all this week, we've been talking about the benefits to the environment of the lockdown and the pause. And we're looking forward to welcoming Nacho Trives onto the show. He's an agronomist and a master baker in Spain. And he's going to tell us all about how to make the perfect loaf. Before we get on to that, you were going to update us on how the hashtag versus virus event went in Switzerland on the weekend. Was anything invented from it?
Well, that Swiss 48-hour challenge produced a number of things. Do you remember? It was a 48-hour challenge to come up with useful things to combat the virus. And one of my favourites was called The Old School, a distance learning platform for over 65s, aimed at preventing their isolation and giving them tools for lifelong learning.
So how does it work?
Well, it appears that the educational opportunities are all targeting children and university students. So this one is especially for senior citizens. And this old school project provides a single entry point for senior citizens with limited digital skills, we all know a few of those, and an ambassador program that matches tech-savvy seniors with those with fewer skills.
Cool, that is a brilliant idea. And we love the oldies on Zoom. I especially like staring at my parents' ceilings when they give it a go. Well, what I've been enjoying is that in the absence of any news other than coronavirus, there's been lots of nature stories in the papers recently. So I read today that they are observing and hearing birds much better, and they've compiled 3,800 examples of innovative feeding behaviour by birds who found that the species are much have learnt a lot more clever feeding techniques, and those that have are less likely to become extinct.
What do you mean? What do you mean, clever feeding techniques?
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but I didn't know that crows have learnt to crack nuts and seashells by dropping them onto the roads to be run over by cars.
No, I didn't know that.
Or that peregrine falcons use the gusts from trains to catch little birds that they flush out of the trees.
Oh, that is clever. Gosh, that is interesting. Well, I didn't know about either of those. And I did read yesterday that a golf course that was forced to close because of lack of members during the corona crisis is now to be turned into a nature reserve in Lincolnshire to boost the population of rare birds like the oyster catcher by the National Trust. Wonderful.
Yeah, and there's also good news on the better air quality that I've been highlighting all this week. The Times quoted that the Department for Environment and Food and Rural Affairs, DEFRA, is calling on researchers to submit evidence on air quality and the pandemic and how much the fall in traffic has changed the public exposure to air pollution. Because apparently levels of fine particles and nitrogen dioxide have fallen sharply in all our cities. And there's a new Harvard study that shows pollution is definitely linked to extra deaths in Manhattan, because it's all about respiratory illness.
Oh gosh, right. Okay, so that's a Harvard study, so very credible. I only really just made the link between coronavirus killing people by preventing them from breathing and how pollution can aggravate that. So that is very interesting. That's something we're going to explore more tomorrow when we talk to Matt Mellon from the website Eco Hustler. What other eco stories have you been looking at, Emma?
Well, I also love this story that they've decided to push ahead with a new project by the Ordnance Survey to contribute to a slower way of seeing Britain by making a map connecting towns and villages all on foot with practical, safe routes, allowing people to ditch their cars and walk and helping people to improve their health, save money. And they've already found that there's already 10,000 miles of safe routes, and they expect the final map to be 50,000.
That is a great idea. What a great plan. I saw a letter to the Times that people, in a letter to the Times, that people are asking that they ask golf courses to shut in this time to allow people to walk across them. I mean, simple, but that seems like a good idea.
Yes, it should be done. I agree. Now, last week, you were talking all about how there was a run on yeast in Switzerland because everybody needs fresh yeast over there to make bread, and it takes 5 days to ferment. And today in the UK, you cannot buy flour anywhere. Everybody seems to be rushing out to make loaves of bread. And we've turned into a nation of bread makers. It must be somehow linked to the coronavirus that you had it a week ago and we've got it now. So there must be a cycle going on. So with that in mind, without further ado, I wanted to welcome Nacho Trives, who used to sell out a bread at his stall in the famous weekly market in Ibiza way back because it was so popular. He's also a really clever agronomist and works for the, well, United Nations food and agriculture area. So what he doesn't know about bread, yeast and bread making, nobody can tell you.
Hey, Nacho, welcome. Where are you in Spain? Tell us, where are you in Spain?
We are in North Extremadura, in the central Iberian mountains, at home, in our farm.
Oh, wonderful. I was reading in Paul's article in the Daily Telegraph today that you make all your own food. So tell me, do you always make the bread?
Well, not always. I mean, I'm the main bread maker at home. I've been making bread for the last 30 years. Not only making bread, but growing our own cereals, harvesting, milling it, doing our flour.
What is your
selecting our yeast and our cultures?
What is your favorite type of flour to use?
Well, I use my favorite type of flour is the flour we produce at home.
Yeah, but from which grain?
Well, what we use, because we cannot actually grow wheat flour at home, because the birds eat everything and they never left anything for us. We grow only rye.
And the birds don't like rye?
No, they don't eat it so much because there's more rye around. So we manage. So anyway, when we try to increase the seed for all wheat varieties, it's always been impossible because there are so many birds that eat it before us. Then we normally buy organic wheat flours from Portugal. Mm-hmm. To add around 30% to our house rye flour.
Mm-hmm. And we use quick yeast here in Switzerland, but do you use your own yeast, do you?
We make our own culture. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you call it in English, it's starter. Mm-hmm. Which is a sort of very liquid dough or a sponge, how you call it, butter.
Mm-hmm. A batter.
A batter, which is basically based in lactic bacteria. Lactic bacteria gives a special flavor.
Flavor.
Is it like sourdough, that kind of added flavor?
Yeah, well, normally if you make a batter, after 1 or 2 or 3 days, you will get a sourdough, which is mostly is lactic bacteria.
Because
my trick is I do a sort of sourdough, but the idea is to have a combination of lactic bacteria and brewer yeast is, let's say, the oldest companion of human beings from the beginnings of settlements and civilization, because of the culture of bread, and is much more efficient building up air and making the bubbles and making a good quality bread. Mm-hmm. While the lactobacteria give you more flavor. Mm. And more acidic. Also, when you make more acidic your dough, it doesn't rise so well. So what I do is, through my smell, I know what is the combination. I know what is the right combination between Saccharomyces cerevisiae, which is the brewer yeast, and lactobacteria. So basically, I keep it. The problem is lactobacteria are much more efficient. So if it's in wartime, from spring to autumn, during the warmer months, they dominate too much. So I keep my starter in the refrigerator. When I take it out, I make it like 3 times bigger, adding water and flour, and then let it grow again, and I add a pinch of brewer yeast to make sure that there is a minimum proportion of brewer yeast in my sourdough. If not, you end up with a sourdough, which is only lactobacteria without any single brewer yeast.
And
I try to keep the combination, and every time I remake my starter, I add, not always, I smell it. You can smell if there is yeast and if it's only lactic, then you add a pinch of dry yeast, baker yeast.
Okay.
So try to keep a combination of both, a combination of lactic and brewer yeast.
And would that be similar? Because I have some sourdough in the fridge, which I've had for ages, and I just top it up, make sure it's always got a bit of water in the top. And it smells almost quite alcoholic-y. It smells like quite, it's almost got an alcoholic kind of smell. So, and I always add a little bit to my bread making because it just kind of gives it a bit more flavor, I find. Would that be like a similar?
Okay, you get the alcoholic smell is the presence of brewer yeast. Yeast makes from carbohydrates, you get alcohol. The lactic bacteria, you get lactic acid, which is more the smell you find in yogurt or in sauerkraut.
Okay.
So you probably already have some, it depends on the bacteria in your kitchen.
Okay.
I think your kitchen is quite rich.
Yeah.
Probably you get a good combination of wild, powerful yeast that can survive with and live together with your lactobacteria. While at home, our wild yeast are very good to make wine, but when I try them to make bread, they are very weak. So I use brewer yeast from the supermarket. And when I see that my starter goes very low in brewer yeast, I add just a pinch. I add a pinch and also I add a little bit of sugar to promote them because the yeast love and they're very efficient using sugar and grow faster. So the thing is to keep a balance, you should smell the alcoholic and the lactic at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I like.
Now, I put a much simpler recipe up, which I'm going to put up with this particular issue. But what do you say the benefits of making your own bread are?
Well, the main benefit is that you know the source of your flour. I think it's important to use a flour that at least has to be organically grown. If you can, stone meal, and of course 100% free of additives, and it's not that easy, but you have to make sure that and then you use a good yeast. You're telling me that in your kitchen, Emma, you have a good combination of wild yeast and lactobacteria and it's working properly. I think it's, and also there's a second ingredient, which is very important, which is your own mood and your attention and your disposition and your dialogue with the Tao when you work it. And of course, the attention you put into it.
Oh, well, Nacho, I love that. I love that you need to have the right mood and emotion and intention that you put into it.
Exactly. Also, your tat, when you stretch the dough, fold it, stretch it, treat it like a living being, see how it is evolving and learning what has acquired the perfect plasticity and elasticity to let it rise.
Well,
or let's go to the oven. So it's a question of feeling, emotion and dialogue with the material and mindfulness.
Oh, thank you, Nacho. Thank you so much. I really feel very inspired to go
out and
make some bread. And I might give it a go and then post a picture with it. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I'm going to put a, obviously, approved by you easy recipe up for other people that want to have a go, because I really recommend it. It is actually the easiest thing in the world to do. As Nacho says, you just have to have the right intention.
And clearly very therapeutic, considering all these populations are running on flour and yeast in their stores. Nacho, we want to thank you very much for joining us today with your expertise. And I am inspired as well. I'm going to attempt my first loaf. And to all of you listening, we want to say, remember to stay safe, stay home, stay humorous. Down.